my others prosper. Living so wicked year after year. Father alone will know all about it. Father alone will understand why.
Short song, I remember that. 230 something, I don't remember, 238 or something. I was trying to find it.
Was it 299 Glory to His name?
Probably, yeah. Yeah, it was it. 299. Had the ear folded over. Thank you, Molly.
You remember none of it.
Yeah, I took my memory pill today.
299, we'll try. See what we got there, children.
How we were so close in action.
My heart was a blood.
tell you what, boy, one day he'll get the glory, he'll get the honor, the reward of his suffering. We can't even really appreciate that song. He asked the Father, Father, something, I don't remember. He said, I both glorified it and will glorify it again. I don't remember exactly what the Lord said, but he got an immediate answer from God. And one day he'll get his just reward. I'll be preaching tonight out of Galatians chapter number 5. If you want to open up your Bibles, Galatians chapter number 5. While you're turning there, I want to read two verses out of 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Paul mentioned there in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse number 1. He said, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we receive mercy, he said, we faint not. And he said in verse 16 of 2 Corinthians chapter number 4, he said, for which cause we faint not. Though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. He just saying, don't give up. Keep looking up. Amen. But I like that. We faint not. Amen. Galatians chapter number 5, and we'll read verse number 1 tonight. Paul said here to this church in Galatia, and what applied then applies now. But he says, stand fast, therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. Be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. And I want to preach tonight on that yoke of bondage. I want to title the message tonight, Don't Get Entangled. And I desire your prayers tonight and ask you to pray with me tonight. Father, we thank you for the precious word of God. Lord, in a dying hour we're living in, Father, Lord, it's a light. Lord, it shines in darkness. And I pray, dear Father God, tonight, Lord, you'd visit our hearts. Pray you'll help us tonight. Lord, I don't have anything to offer you. Lord, but I pray, dear Father God, you'll do the mighty works of God in our midst, and we'd all marvel and know that you've done it. And we'll praise you and thank you and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. That yoke of bondage. So much could be said about that. But Paul mentioned in this one verse here about Jesus making us free. I remember the day I got saved. I remember, boy, I'd gone about as far as I could go with that yoke. I couldn't pull it no further. And it mentions it's a yoke of bondage. And that bondage is real. I've seen a lot of people bound up. I've seen them bound up in more ways than one. We'll try our best comment on some of them tonight. But the Bible says, stand fast. Be steadfast. Don't give place for bondage. Stay in church. Stay away from those things that draw you away from church. The Lord got me cleaned up. And I'll tell you one thing, get cleaned up and stay cleaned up. Amen. And now stay away from the darkness. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 11. Says, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. You know, one mistake I see a lot of people make is that they get saved. They don't come out from among the world, and they continue to mingle in the world. And the next thing you know, they smell like the world, and they talk like the world. And next thing you know, buddy, they're gone. Because I'll tell you right now, old saying, well, you can't lay down with dogs and not come up with fleas, but don't mingle in darkness. Don't give any praise for it, amen. In 2 Peter, we'll probably do a lot of preaching here tonight out of 2 Peter. If you'll turn there, I'll be quite a bit in 2 Peter. But in 2 Peter chapter number 2, verse number 19, Peter, now if there ever was one that knew what we're talking about tonight, he did. Matter of fact, he's got a lot of advice for all of us tonight. But he says there in verse number 19, he says, while they promised them liberty. Boy, I've been there. Try one of these, Brother Eddie. Man, you ain't never had nothing like this. And even though you tell them no, oh, come on. Just one little. I remember how I started drinking. I still remember it. I remember I was next door to my mom and dad's house and my cousin's house. I don't know how they got some beer, but they did. They said, just try one sip. Just one little sip. I said, I don't want none of that junk. I don't like the way it smells. I don't want none of that. They said, just one. I thought, man, I'd get them off my back if I just try one. Of course, you know how it works. I tried one. And I thought, you know, that ain't that bad. Give me another. Next thing you know, I've done hooked. I mean it. I mean, from that day on, I was a drunk. I remember stealing beer out of my dad's refrigerator and going out back thinking I was really big and all that right there. But they promise. They say you'll have a good time. They say you'll like this. Somebody, I've seen them turn up a fifth of whiskey and man, you can tell it burnt the throat plumb out. And they said, man, that's smooth. I don't know why in the world I've done it too. I know what it's like. But some don't make it back. Some, one opportunity is all they get. One fix, done. I mean, get the funeral director ready. Some people can handle things and some people can't. They promise liberty. They say, you're going to have a good time. Man, this is the best high. This is going to be really good if you'll just try this. And it ain't all about that. I mean, you can try other things. The Bible talks about, boy, we need to have some discernment. We need to discern the times. The days are evil. We need to have not only discernment, we need to be careful that no man deceive us. I'll tell you right now, there's a lot of bondage down here. I see churches bound up. I see preachers bound up. I've seen myself bound up. I'll tell you one thing, never seen Jesus bound up. I've seen Him break the bondage every time. I've seen Him set captives free. And when He did, there's free indeed. But I'll tell you, buddy, it didn't stay free. And I want to preach about that a little bit tonight. It may take me a little bit to get where I'm going, but I'm headed there as fast as I can. But some don't make it back. Some not only die, some suffer. They're in a coma the rest of their life. I went to a nursing home one time. Little boy, young boy, in a wheelchair. He couldn't do nothing. He just, that's it. He could just kind of hold his head up and that's it. And someone said his father had some drugs and he didn't have them put up enough. This little boy got into them drugs. I worked with his father. I couldn't believe it. I didn't know his father took drugs. But anyway, this young boy got into his father's stash. And he didn't know no better. And at his age, he wasn't able to, I guess, fare with them like his father did. But I'll tell you one thing. That dad put away them drugs after that. He goes out there and visits that little boy. But the damage is done. That little boy spent the rest of his life in a wheelchair. Might as well, I mean, as good as dead. I mean, just never be able to do anything. And he's sitting there and somebody's got to cut his hair and somebody's got to shave him now and somebody's got to change his clothes. But I'll tell you what, some don't come like others do. Some don't come out of it. Some, it's one lick and they're dead. Or it's one lick and it's been the rest of their life suffering because someone said, you'll like this, it's good. Someone said, hey, it's a good time. You try one of these. Stay away from them. The Bible tells you right here. If you'll look up here, it said they're servants of corruption. Look right there in verse number 19. Servants of corruption. In other words, what they're serving will corrupt you. What they're serving will bring you into bondage, make a slave out of you. And all of a sudden now you've got to have it. It's not whether you want to try it or not. Now you gotta have it. Of course, I'm talking about bondage tonight, but it can be other things. I mean, it can be something to do with a computer on the internet. It can be something to do with something you don't want nobody to know about. It can be a lot of things. But I'll tell you, it started with one time.
Amen.
Trying it. One time. And Peter's got a lot to say about this tonight, so bear with me. You know, servants of corruption. If you hang around them, you'll be brought into bondage again. I saw people get saved. And man, I'll tell you what I saw. Nobody did no better than they did. And then like Paul mentioned this church in Galatia, he said, you did run well. But all of a sudden, you got to missing like my old car after I pulled in the parking lot this morning. My car died as I pulled into the parking lot. I've got a fuel pump or a fuel filter or something. But when I pulled in, I thought, not here. Not now. I mean, I got the whole road blocked and it died. But you see, you get to missing like that. You miss one time. Nobody thinks nothing about it. You miss twice. Everybody says, hey, where they at? And you miss three times. For the most part, my pastor used to say, strike one, strike two, strike three. He said, you're out. You start missing on a Sunday night. And then you start missing on a Wednesday night. Next thing you know, you miss Sunday morning. One time he got in the flesh, got mad. We had something like an Easter service or something, and he was mad. And he agreed with it. He won't deny what I'm telling you, but he was in the mad, in the flesh. He from the pulpit, he said, oh, by the way, Happy New Year. And I know God wasn't in that, but we get like that. I mean, we're just men of like passion. We're not perfect. But many, not only brought into bondage, my daughter, she quit smoking. And I was proud of her. I was bragging on her. I said, honey, you done good. I'm so proud of you. My son quit smoking. He stayed quit. And I found out, not because I wanted to, I found out one day, by accident, my daughter was sneaking around and smoking again. And I told her, I said, honey, I thought you quit. I did. I said, well, you didn't quit altogether. You just quit for a little while. She said, it's not easy. And she told me, she said to people that I run into, they blow smoke in my face. I believe the devil will do that. I believe he'll blow smoke in your face and try to get you lured back and say, boy, wouldn't you like to have one? And she said, pretty soon I couldn't fight it no more. And she's back smoking again, back in the bondage again. And, you know, my son, I commend him for this. He quit. He said, I'm done with it. And he has. He's not took another one. My wife, we got married. That's one stipulation I told her. I said, you're quitting smoking. And as far as I was concerned, she did quit till I went upstairs and found her little secret stash. I come down when I said, what's this? Well, I have to have one every now and then. I said, not no more. I don't want my kids. My mom and dad both smoked. I didn't want my kids raised up in a smoking house. I didn't want to be raised up in a smoking house. Most spiritless things I ever seen. I mean, we're ashes. I agree with that. But I don't want them hanging off my lip. My mom and my dad both changed, smoked pale male cigarettes. I'm not proud of it because I used to have to go get them packed. Go get me a pack of cigarettes. They'd light the next off the last and killed them both. Mom died 2003. Dad died 5 years later, 2008. I mean, dad's coming anyway, but why rush it, amen? But I'll tell you right now, buddy, that old devil, he'll blow smoke in your face. He'll try to lure you back. He'll get someone that you're concerned about, someone you care about, and they'll say, you know, if you really cared about me, like you said, you try one of these. Devil knows how to do it. And many quit drinking, only return again to it. I quit drinking 26 years ago, one in my hand. I never wanted one no worse than I wanted that one. But I will tell you one thing. 26 years ago, I knew I was done. The Lord can set you free. I knew it that day. I knew everybody else thought, well, we'll see about this. I guess some still think somehow or another, old lady will take back the drinking. I was quite a drinker. I drunk, you know, in excess, not in moderation. I'm not proud of it, but I'll tell you one thing. I remember quitting with one in my hand, never wanted one so bad in all my life. And if God hadn't intervened, I guess I'd still be drinking today. I remember my pastor down there in the battle trying to quit smoking. He said, God, if you don't help me, I guess I'm just going to smoke the rest of my life. But when you get to where you really want help, you go to the one that really can help, you can get help. I remember going to God about my drinking, Molly. And I said, God, I've asked everybody but you, and I'm asking, not only you help me, but I want you to show me in a way that I know it's you. And God did in a way that I knew it was Him. God's there for you. He's a very present help in trouble. He's our refuge and strength. You can find in Him all the resources you'll need in this life. He'll supply your need out of His riches and glory. Yeah. I met a man this week and he was making fun of me because I was writing a check. He said, you getting lottery tickets? I said, oh no. I said, I don't trust in uncertain riches. Just quote a little Bible to him. His name's Doug Oliphant. I said, Doug, you're looking at the richest man you'll ever see today. I said, you might meet some as rich as me, but you won't meet none no richer than I am. The unsearchable riches of Christ. I mean, buddy, one day we're going to walk on streets of gold. One day we're going to behold Him in His glory. We're going to see the walls of jasper. We're going to see the gates of one pearl. We're going to see the city four square. And then the world's going to realize just how rich we are. And we might be paupers down here. We might be poor down here. But ain't going to be poor up there. I'll tell you right now, bud, I've never known royalty. But I know one thing. One day I'm going to live like it. Amen. But that drinking, some quit, only return again to it. Some quit smoking, only return again to it. Some quit sexual sins, only to return to it again. And I tell the devil says, just one more won't hurt nothing. Just tell it no. Peter, again, very authoritative on this subject matter. He says down here, verse 21, he said it'd been better. It'd been a whole lot better for you. If you'd have never even known the way of righteousness, and after you've known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them, then you know you've not known the way of righteousness, you know, and you're just going the way of the world. That's one thing, but when you know better and you do it, that's another thing. You become entangled again. He said in verse number 20, he said the latter end is worse for them than the beginning. You see, it comes with a price. The world tries to get you to do like them, talk like them, sin like them. And next thing you know, buddy, you're their joke. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I had Jimmy Swagger, and I hate to use his name. He's the only one that comes to my mind right now. Oh, yeah, he used to stand 10 foot tall for God, but look at him now. What did they do to Samson after he went head over heels with Delilah? And God gave him a haircut. What did they do with him? Didn't they make fun of him? Made sport of him. You see, that's what happens. The world, once they get you entangled and entrapped, then you're a byword. Oh, yeah. Yeah, that was then, but now, look at him now. Take a look at him now. I will say one thing about Samson. He made it in the hall of faith. God did honor his eyes. God did avenge him of his enemies. He killed more in his death than he did in his life. And there is hope, even if you are back entangled in the ways of the world. But I'll tell you what, Peter said that latter end, it's worse than the beginning. And, you know, Satan, he mocks you. The world mocks you. Your testimony is mired. He said down in verse number 22, he said, you're like the dog returns his own vomit. I've seen dogs do this. They'll throw up and come back and eat it. I've seen it. You probably have too. I mean, they do it. They're just a dog. He said, like the sow or the pig, no matter how many times you wash it, it'll return right back to the mire because there's nothing different. It's still a pig. The dog's still a dog. You can put all the bowls in his hair. You can paint his nails. You can do all that primping. He's just a dog. And the hog's just a hog. But I'll tell you right now, when Jesus cleans someone up, when Jesus sets them on the street called straight, when Jesus puts a song in the heart, when Jesus sets them free, they're not a dog no more and they're not a hog no more. They're a child of God. I'll tell you right now, we're to walk worthy of that vocation. We're to show this world how much He means to us. Amen. Peter, the one that wrote this epistle right here, he knows this well because he did what he's talking about here. He did deny the Lord. Luke chapter 22, he even warned the very day before he done it, warned that he would do it. He still did it. Now, I know you're greater than Peter. And I think, like Rick said, all of us got a little Peter in us. We all think, you know, we'll never fall. We'll never falter. We're somehow superior to all the rest. But the Lord told Peter, Luke 22, verse 54 through 62, He said this. Well, let me tell what the Lord told him before He did deny him. He told him in Mark, and he says it better than does in Luke. They both say it, but in Mark 14, the Lord told him, verse number 26, He said, they sung a hymn when they went out into the Mount of Olives, and Jesus saith unto them, oh, ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it's written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered. But after that I am risen, I will go before you unto Galilee. Verse 29, but Peter said unto him, although all shall be offended, yet will not I. Jesus saith unto him, verily I say unto thee that this day, even in this night, Before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me thrice. Now, I mentioned about Luke 22, and Luke 22:54, and you've heard it, but I want to read it again tonight. Then took they him, talking about Jesus, and led him and brought him to the high priest's house, and Peter followed afar off. That's the first mistake, following afar off. Verse 55, and when they kindled a fire in the midst of the hole and were set down together, Peter sat down also among them. That's the second mistake. And then it says, a certain maid beheld him as he sat by the fire, and earnestly looked on him, and said, this man also was with him. Verse 57 said, and he denied him, saying, woman, I know him not. And 58, after a little while, another saw him and said, thou art also of them. And Peter said, man, I am not. 59, about the space of 1 hour after another, confidently affirmed, saying, of a truth, this fellow also was with him, for he is a Galilean. Peter said, man, I know not what thou sayest. And immediately, while he yet spake, the cock crew, and the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said unto him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And Peter went out and wept bitterly. Boy, it would be good if we could do what Peter did when he realized what he'd done. He even warned the one that wrote what we read about them promising you liberty, about promising you all of this good time and all of that, lying to you, wanting you to be a partaker of their sins. I'll tell you the best way to get out of all that, just stay in church. Amen. I never heard nothing in church that I couldn't go home and make myself better by applying it. God's Word. Not only did He say man shall not live by bread alone in Matthew chapter 4. He said man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word proceeds out of the mouth of God. That word will sustain a man. That word will help a man to get on the straight path. It'll help him to stay right. It'll help him, I'm telling you, to quit falling into all these snares and traps that Satan puts out there. Because when you become entangled, when you get back into bondage, all of a sudden you start paying the price. The Bible said the wages of sin is death. The Bible talks about, you know, that your sin will find you out. And a lot of people, and I'm one of them, I don't want you to know all the things I've done. You don't want me to know all the things you've done, but God knows everything about us. And He still loves us. He's true love. He loves people. He loves them like they are. He don't leave them like they are, but He loves them like they are. Sometimes when you're fishing, you got to catch fish. But before you eat them, you got to clean them. Yeah. And people are like that sometimes. They got to be cleaned before anything good can come out of them. You got to take them in the rough. You got to work with them. You got to be patient. You got to be tender with them. But I'll tell you one thing. You get the right one, you get them out of bondage, and they'll have a love for God that'll impress a lot of people. Someone told a story one time about a little boy living on the streets. And a rich couple come by and they saw him, and the mother, her heart was moved at this young boy just in rags. And she said something to her husband, is there any way we could adopt that little boy? And they found out at that time it wasn't that hard. You didn't have to be a lesbian and a homosexual to adopt a child back then. It was really easy. And they found out they could adopt this little boy, and they did, and they brought this boy off of the streets of poverty into their home. And they washed him and clothed him and fed him. And man, the little boy just couldn't believe it. I mean, it was a dream come true. Here he was, no longer a beggar, no longer in rags, no longer hungry, no longer struggling to live and survive. And every time at the table, Brother James, he'd say, Mother, Father, may I please be excused? And they'd say, yes, son. And this happened every time. And they wondered, what are we doing wrong? What's going on? So one day, Brother Vernon, they decided they'd follow him, find out what's going on here. So they followed this little boy, and they stayed back behind where he couldn't see him and couldn't hear him. It was real quiet, Linda. The little boy went in the bedroom, and they cracked open the door. And when they did, they saw this little boy reaching up underneath the bed. They thought, what's he got? he pulled out a little brown bag underneath that bed. And of course, most parents would have burst in right there saying, "What is that?" But they didn't. They waited. And that little boy took his nice clothes off and folded them real nice, real neat on the bed. And then he got them old rags out of that bag and he put them on himself. And he went over and stood in that mirror and started weeping. And the mother couldn't take it no more. She burst in. She said, "Son, what's wrong?" He said, "Nothing's wrong, Mama." He said, "I just don't never want to forget what y'all done for me." Yeah. Boy, if we had a heart like that for God, if we could just never forget what He done for us and realize He brought us out of bondage and He put us on a solid rock and established our garden and put a song in our heart, we'd have more, I guess, enthusiasm, more, I guess, a shouting and glory for Him. Amen. Amen. I'll tell you what, I think it's come a little cold on our love for Him. To those that might be struggling, Jesus says, "Come unto Me, all ye that are heavy laden." He says, "I'll give you rest," Matthew 11:28. He says, "Take My yoke, and you'll find rest unto your souls," verse 29. He says, "My yoke's easy, My burden's light," verse 30. He not only invites, but He says, "He that cometh to Me, I'll in no wise cast out," John 6:37. You see, the Lord already knows what you're struggling with. He already knows the bondage that's got you. He already knows the battles you're in. Already knows it. He offers help. And what we do, we say, "I'll be all right." That's a big mistake. Somebody wrote a song, "I can't even walk without Him holding my hand." We're not going to be all right without the help of God. I'll be honest with you, there's not just a devil down here, but the Bible said He's like a roaring lion, walking about, seeking whom he may devour. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verse number 8. There's a devil. He hates you. He wants more than anything to make a laughing stock out of you. He wants more than anything to make your faith shipwreck. He wants more than anything to get you out of church. He wants more than anything to get you in bondage and make some kind of slave out of you.
Amen.
But there's one that's for you.
Yeah.
The Bible said, "If God be for you, who can be against you?" And I'm glad He's that kind of God.
Amen.
He was for me. I didn't know Him. I didn't want nothing to do with Him. Actually, in my mind and my heart, I thought He was my enemy and I kept running from Him. I still remember Brother Melvin at the age of 18 years old. I remember my old grandpa coming up the backyard and I could see him. I'm sitting there drinking in the backyard, my shirt off, I'm in my field. No doubt he'd been down there watching me and probably couldn't take no more. Thought I got to go up there and plead with my grandson. I'm 18. Man, I'm a man's man. I mean, I got me a Pabst Blue Ribbon. I'm sitting there in my backyard. Here comes my grandpa. "Bobby, I put that behind my back like that's really going to help." And here he come. I saw the tears running out of the corner of his eyes. My grandfather, he couldn't see very good. I'm going to guess his glasses was an inch thick, maybe even more. Made his eyeballs look like bowling balls, and it made them tears look like, softballs or something rolled down their cheeks. He come up to me, and he said, "Horsefly," he said, "I've been praying for you." He said, "I really wish you'd get saved." And I didn't say this, but in my mind, I'm sitting there thinking, "Papa Ed, I'm 18. I'm 18, Papa Ed." And I'm thinking a stupid thought. I'm sitting there thinking, I want to live my life, Papa Ed. I thought, maybe when I'm 81, maybe get saved, but not 18. Man, that's a stupid thought. I don't know where it came from today. But I had an opportunity right there at the age of 18. To come to know Jesus. My grandfather, heartbroken, after I told him I wasn't interested in getting saved, I remember what he told me. He said, "Horsefly," he said, "if you ever change your mind, I don't care what hour of the day it is," he said, "you come down to my house," and he said, "I'll personally introduce you to Jesus." Boy, what an opportunity God afforded an old sinner like me. I got saved at the age of 34 years old, but unfortunately, my grandfather, he'd already passed away. And I know his heart's desire was to tell his grandson how to be saved. And that really bothered me when he died. I thought the only man that cared about me is now gone. And then my heart sunk down. And the devil, he kind of echoed that to me. "You ain't never going to get saved now. The only one that cared about you is gone."
But there was another care about me. The Bible says, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7. Jesus never gave up on me. At the age of 34 years old, I finally done what I should have did at the age of 18. And I knelt down and gave God what was left of my life. Been living for Him ever since. But I'll tell you what, I've never known bondage. I've never known bondage like I had before I met Him. He truly set this captive free. And I see people, and you've seen them, they get in church, they get saved, man, they get baptized, and you get your heart all worked up, and you get confidence, and get excited, and you go tell someone, so-and-so got saved, and the next thing you know, the devil slips in, and they're gone. I'll just say this, and put it on record, stay in church. You get some help, you stay in church. You'll hear somebody testify tonight. Most of the time, when somebody testifies, it helps me. Helps me realize I'm not the only one in the battle. I'm not the only one struggling. I'm not the only one having troubles. I'm not the only one that's down and out. I like when you testify. I'd encourage you to testify a lot. It's called edification. The Bible said in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as we see the day approaching. It's important that we encourage and exhort, edify one another. You never know what somebody's going through. Father, we thank You tonight. And Lord, we don't know how this message went, but I delivered that which You had in my heart. And I pray, dear Father God, tonight that You took it where it needed to go. And I pray, Father, You'll do what needs to be done with it. If there be one, Father, here tonight, Lord, that's struggling, I pray, Lord, they'll run to You and ask for help. And I know You're a very present help for those who are in trouble. And I pray, Lord, You'll help that one tonight, Lord, that needing help. And if there's not one tonight, Lord, needing help, I know for this week, so we'll all probably need help. But these things we ask in Jesus' name for Your glory and praise. Amen. I guess everybody stand tonight. I don't know if you need to come tonight, you come. If you don't need to come, well then don't come. Let's try to obey the Lord tonight in the house of God. We're talking about a storm coming tonight. May not be nothing. Then again, it may be like Daniel talked about on the way over here. It may be bad. See, we don't know what's coming. We hope every day is going to be like it's been this week. Might not be another day. Might just be only today. We might peel our head tonight, hear the trumpet call, get called out, meet the Lord. Hallelujah. Might be a bunch left behind. Go ahead, Brother Mitt. Number 200. You need to come tonight. There's mercy with the Lord. He will help you, give you rest by trusting in His Word. Only trust Him, only trust Him, only trust Him now. He will save you, He will save you. Thank the Lord for these two young men here. Somebody wants to help you pray with them. Lord, we thank You, Father, for holding tonight, for Daniel, Lord, just the blessing of them being here, Lord, being here, Father, in Your house. Lord, I know it's been a blessing to You. I pray, dear Father, Lord, I know they're young. And I pray, Lord, they'll let You lead in their lives. I pray, Lord, dear Father, that both be mighty men of God. I pray, Lord, they'll let You have Your way. And I pray, Lord, You mold them as clay and make them, Lord, that which You have them to be. I pray, Lord, as far as this world's concerned, Lord, they take note that they were Jesus. I pray, Father God, all that know them, Lord, will come to them and say, hey, can You tell us about these Jesus? Lord, make them a vessel of mine. Make them involved in my prayer. Keep Your hand on them, Lord, I pray. I know the devil likes to kick dirt on them. I know it might get down and scary, but I'll pray, Lord, you renew them day by day. Father, bless them, I pray. These big young people, I'm so thankful, Lord, they come tonight. I'm thankful for their call. They've called me and asked me if they can come. Lord, what a blessing it was to be on the receiving end of that. Bless these two young men, Lord. I pray in Jesus' name.
And to follow you, Lord, and let you lead and direct your life.
Yes,
Lord. Lord, to come great with
anybody else need to come tonight? Think about it. These two young boys done one try, my opinion. They come just like the earth, said, Lord, here I am. Is there another tonight? Amen. Bless you, Mother Barbara. Appreciate these young boys. I have to admit, they caught me off guard. Daniel called and said, this is Daniel. It took me a minute. I said, well, I work with a Daniel. He said, no, go to church with him. And I'm sitting there thinking, Bethel, Columbia. He said, Peyton and Dawson. I said, all right, I know which Daniel I'm talking to now. I praise God for Daniel's phone call to me. He said, Brother Abe, you come by and pick me up. I want to come to church. I appreciate that, Daniel. I told him, I said, you get enough, I'll drive the church van over there. He was able to get hold of him with him, both of them men. One thing I'd like to say about Daniel, I hope you won't mind me saying this, but we had a service over here one time, a good service, and he's sitting about where Brother Lloyd was, and this so happened that Sunday morning, we was all having fellowship back in the back, and I'm sitting there at the door shaking people's hands on the way back there, and Daniel was still sitting there. And I thought, well, maybe something might be wrong, so I went over and I said, is everything all right, Daniel? He looked up her head and he said, is it too late to get saved? I said, no, sir, it's not. Me and Daniel, as everybody's back in the back, we headed up here to this altar, and he gave his heart to Jesus. And I thank God for that. It's never too late to get saved unless you die in your sins. If you die in your sins, I'll tell you right now, there'll be a terrible price to pay for it. Who got a word on the heart tonight?
Brother Eddie, I want to thank you for this day, Mother's Day.
Amen.
I called Mama. I went to see her yesterday. Sometimes I don't understand, Mama. You know, I just don't. I've tried throughout the years to understand more. And I didn't want to say anything this morning, but I heard her say to Debbie, like Linda was talking about her mama, calling out her name.
Well, I like that.
I've never heard my mama even pray.
Yeah.
All us kids, there's 11 of us, and I've never heard her pray a prayer of no kind.
Yeah.
I've missed that.
Yeah.
I truly have. So I know for that I needed to do different when I had my two kids.
Yeah.
I've always taken to church.
Well, that's good.
I drove them to church.
Yeah, it's all right.
It's hard. Cut school books.
It's what it takes.
Had to do something. And yesterday, Jeffrey came and seen me. And today he was in church.
Amen.
Karen came and seen me today and she was in church.
Amen.
And you know, I praise God for that.
Amen. I do too, sister.
I know I've not always done good, but I want to be a mom that grew my kids up right.
Amen.
And I know I tried the best I know how to do.
Amen.
And a mom that just don't pray and take their kids to church is just something I don't understand.
Amen, Karen. Amen. Yeah.
I just don't understand it.
That's what we need. We need godly moms to realize those children need to be in church and take initiative and get them dressed and get them ready and bring them. Who else got a word in your heart tonight? There ought to be an echo or two from that. I appreciate that testimony.
I thank you for the blood he shed on Calvary.
Amen, Molly.
You know, when there's a problem, I know where to go.
Amen.
I can call him the
higher
one.
Yeah.
And he'll bring you there.
That's what he said, Jeremiah 33:3. Call on me in the day of trouble.
I praise his holy name.
Amen.
I'm glad he's on my side in the morning.
Yeah.
Because Satan will just take you deeper and deeper
until
he ends your life.
Amen.
Now when he gets you down in hell, he'll look at your face and laugh. I got you.
Bible said he sports and he's deceiving. It's a joke with him. It's a game with him. I guess he's got trophies too. I don't know.
Because our end.
Yeah.
Time is almost to the end.
Yeah, it is. That's what Daniel said. He said, I believe it's about to the end. Yeah.
And if you lose out, it's your fault. It's nobody else's. And each and every one of us will stand before him and be judged.
Amen.
I can be judged for not a one in this church tonight.
Bless
for Molly, and that's all. And I'm looking forward to looking and seeing my Savior who died for me.
Amen.
Not man. Jesus
died
for me. And people better start looking up instead of down.
Yeah.
Because he's drawing nigh each day.
Amen.
I praise his holy name tonight. I love him.
Amen.
I believe you do, Mark.
He would have died for me. If I'd have been all on this earth, he would have died for me. That's, and I can't wait to get there to see him.
Amen. That's and good motivation, love.
For me.
She said, love him.
Yeah.
Boy, to keep you going. Amen. Anybody else got a word tonight? Been a pretty good place to be.
Here, especially these young men.
Yeah.
I like to think the church has been a place of refuge, you know, and strength, you know, a place that honors, a place where we can get help and be reconciled, you know, if we've done wrong, then go to the Lord and ask forgiveness.
That's right.
If we stay in church, the devil ain't left to get you, ain't going to have a hard time getting you out, you know.
That's right.
I got saved 65, that's 40, soon be 49 years ago in June.
Yeah.
And if I made this one of these young men today.
Boy.
How'd you look like
it? Amen, Brother Melvin. I told him this morning, Daniel, I said, they'll come tonight if the devil don't beat them out of it. And I know how the devil works.
Yeah.
He'll let you want to come and give you good intention, but when it comes time, he'll talk you out of it and say, you know, next time or something like that. But I appreciate you followed through.
Yeah.
And that was a real blessing. You surprised me. I really wanted you to come tonight, but I thought, man, the old devil probably beat him out of it, but he didn't. You got some victory tonight. I appreciate you.
Yeah.
Young man coming tonight. Who else got a word? Anybody?
Brother Eddie, I just thank the Lord for this day, for another day of life, to be able to enjoy the privilege of being in this house. And I'm thankful to that God saw fit to let me be born into a land and a country where we enjoy this freedom. And
right.
We say, I know so many times, and I think too many times that we look on the dark side of everything. But still yet, we're living in the best land there is in the world.
That's right.
And I praise Him for that tonight and for the privilege to come up in the midst of the people that taught me the right way. And,
amen.
And most of all, I thank Him for seeing fit to save an individual like me. We're unworthy and amounts to nothing, but by the blood of Christ, He's made me a child of the King.
Amen. Amen.
That's what it's all about tonight, isn't it?
Amen.
We know what it is. I praise Him. Thank Him for this day, and I thank Him for Mother's Day, and I thank Him for mothers, for the mothers that's here tonight.
Yeah.
I thank Him for my wife that mothered my children into the world, and I think she done a wonderful job with them. She had the bigger responsibility of it than I did. I think a mother leaves a great bearing and influence on her children.
Yeah.
And I thank Him for Linda and her family and children.
Yeah.
And, you know, they called her this morning wishing her happy Mother's Day. And it's just a time that people ought to just be able to let the love of God flow from bosom to bosom.
Amen.
And not only on Mother's Day, but every day.
Amen.
Christians we see. So I'm glad that I'm one of His tonight. Let's pray one for another. Pray that God will speak to hearts and draw men with His power. It doesn't matter whether I can convince them or not. All I might say or do, if they respond and react upon my doings, they're doing it for me.
Yeah.
But when God draws Spirit moves and pulls, then they're coming for the right reason. Let's pray for a moving God's Spirit in people's hearts.
Amen.
Let's pray for one another this week.
Anybody else tonight? If we're done, we'll be dismissed. Get you out a little early tonight. Been a good day. Appreciate what I felt, what I heard here today.
Anytime as young men want to come to prayer meeting, just give me a call. It starts at 6 o'clock. Brother Vernon will be here.
Amen. Want to pray for
Brother Vernon?
Yes.
We're done tonight? Brother Bobby, dismiss us, brother.
Thank you, Lord, for this day and many blessings tonight. We just thank you for mothers. Thank you for the ones that you have with us.
Bless. Yes, Lord.